Welcome to A Rugby Life. I'm your host, Teddy LeGrand. Saturday was not the only rugby day last week, as on Friday, October 9th, the International Olympic Committee voted to add rugby sevens to the 2016 Summer Games. It will join 27 other sports in Rio and is a long-awaited return since being last played at the Games in 1924. As part of the worldwide celebrations of the announcement, US rugby staff and players were in New York City to meet with the press and members of the rugby community. Amongst the rugby folks that were present was US national men's sevens player Mark Bockhoven, who I sat down with.
Hi Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Good. So what came to mind when you first heard the news today?
Oh, just very excited, you know. Very excited that it's in the Olympics. It's always been my dream growing up as a little kid. Always wanted a chance to be in the Olympic Games, and now obviously that gives me a little better shot.
All right, so let's just track back a bit here. So when did you first start playing rugby? When did it all start for you?
I started playing rugby in 2002 when I first went to university. I went to Iowa State University, and I had been playing football, wrestled, and ran track in high school, and wanted to continue my athletic career and decided, hey, I'll try out rugby. Saw a flyer, went out, played well my freshman year. My sophomore year, I went to New Zealand, played down there for the University of Otago. Came back, and the year after I made the national team. So,
is that the sevens or the 15s nationals?
The sevens. I've only ever been on the sevens national team. I've been on the USA developmental 15s team. That's it.
Okay, fantastic. So, how many caps have you sort of pulled at this point?
I have played in 13 tournaments, IRB tournaments, and I believe it's 44 caps for the United States or something.
So you're a pretty well-established sevens player at this point. So.
Yeah, I'm the second most capped sevens player on the team right now.
All right. What's been one of your favorite venues to play sevens? Which one of the tournaments is the one you really like being at?
Wellington by far. I believe Wellington's the best atmosphere. The crowd is going absolutely mental and just running out on that field. And also, we've got the opportunity to play against Australia a few times down there, which is always good because then we have 40,000 fans screaming, you know, USA, chanting for us.
Going forward now, so the announcement came out today. What does this sort of, in the immediate future for you, what does this mean now for you from a playing perspective?
Hopefully it'll legitimize our sport and we'll get more sponsorship and also help us become a more professional team, you know, in the United States. Because I think that's one of the major hurdles that we have to overcome right now. We all train and live in different areas of the United States. And if we could get everyone located in a central location, or at least a few central locations where we could train and be together more often. Because right now we get together 8 days before a tournament and try to become a world-class team, whereas going against the likes of New Zealand, South Africa, Fiji, Argentina, where they're training day in and day out as a team, makes it a little rough.
So at this point, are you actually sort of a semi-pro, or are you pro, or are you? What do you do normally when you're not playing rugby?
We consider ourselves professionals, but we are not paid as professionals. Yeah. Outside of, I used to work in civil engineering. That's where I got my degree at Iowa State. But currently, I work for USA Rugby to help pay the bills when I'm not playing rugby. So hopefully, in the near future, we'll be fully professionalized, and won't change up my training routine because right now I still train 12 times a week. But at least I'll be getting paid for it.
So, tournament-wise, what have you got coming up next? What's the next big tournament for you?
Actually, the next big tournament for us is Dubai, the start of the season. We do not have a preseason tournament this year, but it's coming up real soon, I think, end of November. So, a month and a half, 6 weeks, we are going to be going to Dubai in first leg of the IRB Series. And our first game is actually against England. So, that's our sole focus right now, is just that very first game versus England.
So you're not back on U.S. soil then until you come back to Vegas for 2010?
That is correct. Not until February in Vegas.
Looking forward to the Olympics, how do you see your role in the Olympic side?
I hope to be still playing in 2016, but I will be 33 at that point, so you never know.
You're not too old, man.
I know I'm not too old, but you never know how your body's going to hold up. I've been playing rugby for a few years and playing contact sports, you know, for 15 years, so... If I'm healthy, I hope to be playing in the Olympics in 2016. There's talk that it might be an exhibition sport in 2012, which would definitely be, I mean, I definitely want to be playing in that. And if not, I still want to be somehow involved with USA Rugby, either as a, you know, managerial support staff, any way I could, assistant coach, you know. I definitely want to be involved with the rugby if I'm not a player at that point.
That's great stuff. Well, Mark, thank you very much for your time today. I wish you all the best for the future, and good luck.
Thank you.
Next, I talked to Jen Sinclair, a player with the US National Women's Sevens team.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Obviously, great news today. When did you first hear about it this morning?
Well, we crashed the Today Show audience earlier today with signs that Mark Bakhoven made. He cut out the letters by hand. And so we'd been trying to listen to the streaming when we were still at the hotel this morning, but we couldn't even get through golf before it was really time to go. So we were all like logged onto Twitter this morning and refreshing and talking to people over text and email just to get the announcement. So it was, thank God for technology.
How did you get started in rugby?
I found it in college. I was at a men's game, and there was a women's game going on the next field over, and I thought it looked like a lot more fun to play than watch, although watching was good, too.
Had you been playing any other sports at the time?
No, I had played four sports in high school and sort of twittered away my freshman year in college, not really doing much besides getting a lay of the bar scene. And so it was time to find another team sport for me. I really missed that, being part of a team.
So, started in college. So, how did it go from being in college to ending up playing on the national side?
Well, my college team actually followed an interesting path and evolved quite a bit during my time there. As I said, it was pretty social when I started. Over the years, like more and more of us started playing all-star teams and made the Midwest All-Stars and were the first women from Iowa to make the under-23 national team, my teammate Libby Kaplan and myself. And then we kept bringing these skills back to the team, back to the college team, and it sort of... that the more serious side of rugby became really contagious. And so by the time I graduated, we won Division II Nationals, which was awesome. And then they repeated it a couple of years after I left, too. And so it's become quite a program, you and I.
How many appearances have you now made for the national side?
I never know what they count and what they don't. I've been playing for the team since 2002 under Emil Cygnus and through 2005, and then I took a couple of years off and then played again under Jules McCoy the past couple of years. So... caps? I don't know. 20? 30?
Don't worry, it's not a fact check there, so you don't have to worry too much.
I know. Isn't that your job? I mean, shouldn't you be able to tell me? No, I don't know. That's a good question.
When we put it on the website, we'll put the accurate number up there to do a little test. And we can make a pop quiz about it.
They don't count everything. They don't count every international game. Like, it has to be an official one. Or
okay. So outside of rugby, does it pay the bills for you?
Ah, right. Sure. Yeah, all of them. I pretty much roll in dough because of money. From rugby, yeah. It doesn't at all. I'm a fitness magazine editor for Experience Life magazine, which is a health and fitness magazine based out of Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's a nationwide magazine. It's published by Lifetime Fitness. And being what it is, it's my employer tends to be really supportive, luckily for me, of fitness endeavors because it's sort of this, it's all, you know, it's what we talk about. It's what we write about. It's more of an all-encompassing magazine. It's nutrition, it's health and fitness, it's spirituality. My beat is fitness, though, and so it's sort of I can frame it as I'm going to do research on training techniques. And
well, it sounds like a great employer to work for, to have a good balance between playing rugby and like actually having a job.
It absolutely is. It couldn't be more ideal. And the funny thing was, I found the job through rugby because there's a rugby player I knew in Minneapolis. And he happened to know the editor-in-chief and who was looking for an associate editor. And it all, rugby kind of makes the world go around.
Oh, so true. So looking forward now, so what have you got coming up rugby-wise for you, like playing or other endeavors?
Well, we're right flush in the middle of my club team, Keystone. We're right in the middle of the first ever Premiership League for women, which is, I think, the equivalent of the Men's Super League. So there are 8 teams across the country who were selected to be part of the Premiership, and we're probably over halfway through our season. So that'll culminate at the first weekend in November at Treasure Island in San Francisco.
So how's the season going so far?
Not too bad. We a couple weeks ago we picked off what is still the top team in the East League. So that would be Beantown. That was kind of a surprise victory, I think, for a lot of people.
Going back to the thing about sevens, so what have you got sevens-wise coming up?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm at a place right now that I've kind of got to decide that, and I'm sort of in the process of deciding what's next for me and for sevens. The first U.S. coach I played for, I mentioned him already, Emil Cygnus, he does a lot of Atlantis tours, and there's something about those kind of tours that are starting to appeal to me more and more, kind of get to still do the travel and maybe take it a little easier, although with the Olympic announcement, it's pretty tempting to go, keep on that route too. So I don't know.
Looking forward, I mean, obviously, like even from a point of view of playing or involvement, I mean, it seems pretty exciting for 2016. And also, of course, we mentioned with Mark earlier, there could be a possibility of exhibition games done in London for 2012. Would you think, I mean, how do you think you'd be one of the people to be along there? You may be playing or involvement somehow in the team?
Well, 2012 would be a lot more doable. And Sue Parker, the new women's coach who just took over, has really done... I think that there are big things in store for the women's team. She's whipping that program right into shape, and she's got big plans. So it would be cool to be a part of that, and it'll definitely be, whether I'm playing or not, interesting to see and impressive to see what she does with it.
Well, I wish you good luck for the rest of the future, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice to meet you.
For my final interview, I spoke with head coach of the U.S. National Men's Sevens team, Al Caravelli.
Al, how are you doing?
Wonderful. I am ecstatic.
I think I know why. Great news today. When did you hear about it today?
I actually set my alarm for 5:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time so I could watch all the presentations and the voting this morning. So I heard about it about 7:18 this morning.
Excellent. So obviously that is great news. Going for, I mean, there's obviously... Today, there's been great. We're having a lot of different rugby people here. You've got a lot of interview stuff. So what have you actually been having to do today? I mean, once the news broke, I mean, you heard it about 7:30 this morning. How have you been spreading the word?
I haven't been spreading the word much except coming downtown to thank people because, one of the great things about rugby is we truly are a global rugby family. So it doesn't matter if you play at the elite level or for a club, D1, D2, D3, it doesn't matter. So it's actually to thank everyone and to celebrate a little bit on the news.
So where did, going back a little bit here, it's like, so where did your rugby life start for you?
Well, my father was in the Foreign Service, and we moved to Argentina when I was 14 years old. So I picked up rugby in Argentina, and I didn't know it at the time when we moved there. My father actually played for Argentina. I had a lot of uncles and cousins, and first played for Argentina in Hong Kong in 1980.
So you've also played as well. Have you played in the States as well?
I did. In 1982, we moved back to the States. Didn't play rugby for a while because I was on soccer scholarship to UCLA, but then played as soon as I graduated, played all the way up until 2000.
And so then how did you end up going from being a player for then to end up being the head coach for the Nationals team?
You know, it's a funny story, but my old coach, Emil Cygnus, who used to coach the U.S. National Sevens team from 1986 to 92, he wanted to build the first ever women's sevens team. So I was still playing in 1998, and he said, hey, would you like to participate in this camp? It's for women. And I said, no, I'm not interested. And, coming from a macho Hispanic background in Argentina, no, women don't play rugby. But he said, oh, why don't you just come out, teach him a few things. I said, well, what can I teach women? And he goes, the same thing you can teach men. So I went, and I fell in love with it right away because I realized that the women that were there were phenomenal athletes and how hard they worked, and I got the coaching bug. So for 2 years, I assistant coached and continued to play, and then stayed with Emil until 2005 as his assistant coach with the U.S. Women's National Sevens team. At the same time, coached some Atlantis tours for women, New York Athletic Club. And then in 2006, found out that there was a position open for the national job at USA Rugby for the men's team. And I was one of several applicants that applied, went through a six-month interview process, and was fortunate enough to be entrusted to take the reins at the Sevens program. So I've been doing it for going into my fourth season right now.
Okay, excellent. So how have you seen it with the team so far? How's the season's gone?
It was very tough my first season, very, very difficult. We had been on a five-year losing streak. I think it was 35 straight games or something, and I thought, well, I'm a good coach. I'm going to come in and turn it around right away, and then reality smacks you right in the face. But we had our best finish ever last year, so we continue to improve every year. We're ranked 11th right now in the world. We knocked off some big powers last year, everybody in the top 10 and that was ahead of us, except for New Zealand and South Africa. We got close to both of them, losing by 1 point. Our guns are out for them this year.
I wish you very good luck with that. So going forward, so now we've got the IOB season starts up. That's going to be hitting pretty quick in November with Dubai. How do you see the build-up now going? Like, what do you see, what do you see happening with sevens now?
You know, immediately today, the way I kind of gauge it is I watched ESPN, and they made the announcement that golf and rugby were in the Olympics in 2016. And it's funny because I was watching the BBC and some Reuters releases. All the other places outside the U.S. were saying rugby and golf. So we got 10 seconds of airtime on ESPN. So I don't know how much we're going to grow immediately in the U.S. But for, I think, the athlete that's currently on the team or has aspirations, you know, a lot of people say, well, you guys are going to get a lot of money. I don't see a lot of financial remuneration coming right away, but what I do see is access to the Olympic training centers. So our players can have access to mental skills, coaching, to kinesiology programs, you know, how to increase their VO2 max, their speed, their strength, their nutrition. All of that, I think, will be an immediate impact that we'll start to see midway through the series this year. So I think that will help.
I also imagine as well that now that it's got that sort of Olympic recognition to it now, that you might see a lot more crossover from other sports as well.
I think we'll start, definitely. Remember that this is for 2016, so it's 6 years away. But I do think, my sales pitch to the young, to the youth is you could play football, lacrosse, et cetera, baseball, and be on the U.S. domestic stage, which is a nice stage, or would you like to be on the world stage and be an Olympian? So I kind of push that way.
So who are you going to be looking at? I mean, who are the people you're going to be focusing on now?
Well, you know, I'm looking all the time at crossover athletes, new players that arise. What I'm hoping to do is that we continue to spread the word big time in our high schools and even junior highs. You know, because if you're looking at maybe 16 and 17-year-olds 6 years from now, you know, they're going to be 21, 22, 23-year-olds. So those are the kids that we need to convince that rugby not only athletically offers so much for them, but even more importantly, it gives you life lessons.
So one of my last questions for you is, USA is still the Olympic gold medal holders. Are we going after it?
You know, we always strive to do our best. So if our players play to their potential, and that's the greatest thing about sevens, anybody can beat anybody on a given day. So, you know, we can hang on to that moniker for a while leading up to 2016 that, yes, we are the defending gold medalist.
Al, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you all the best luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
That brings me to the end of another episode of A Rugby Life. I'd like to give a big thank you to all the folks at US Rugby, with a special shout-out to Sarah John. Also, I'd like to thank all the staff at Mr. Dennehy's pub where these interviews were recorded. So, until next time, cheers.